This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Green Tea CR Phytosome Formula from Purity Products. It's the power of three of nature's top superfoods, a clinically tested green tea plus curcumin and resveratrol, all in one simple capsule. It's clinically proven to support your energy, vitality, and cardiovascular function. The secret behind Green Tea CR is its phytosome matrix, which boosts its green tea power by over 200% compared to regular green tea. Our friends at Purity Products have a free bottle for you to put to the test. Just pay $4.95 for shipping. Experience the power of this trio and see how good you can feel. Call 1-800-218-6030. That's 1-800-218-6030. Call now. As these move fast, dial 1-800-218-6030. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. For me, a much anticipated event because I really enjoy hearing our listeners' questions and doing a lively repartee with my colleague, Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence.
Ah, likewise. This is fun.
Yeah. So it's a labor of love. This is not, this is not hard. And the time flies.
Yeah.
So before we get into questions, by the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. So we've got quite a lot of good questions in our email bag today.
Yeah.
But I want to have your comments on this story. It's really made the rounds. It's on Drudge. Medical News Today reports this headline, colorectal cancer, TV viewing tied to risk of early onset.
I saw that headline, and then I got distracted because I had something else I had to do.
Because you were watching TV.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you need a colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so here's the story. Recent research has linked prolonged sitting while viewing TV to a raised risk of developing colorectal cancer before the age of 50. There was a study, which is in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. What they say here, so get the details on this, you have to scroll down to get the details. During a 22-year follow-up, 118 out of 89,000 women in the Nurses' Health study developed young-onset colorectal cancer. That would be colon cancer before the age of 50, in other words, those aged 20 to 49, which is a little unusual.
Yeah. Yep.
So they found a link between, quote, prolonged sedentary TV viewing time. Watching TV every day for more than an hour was tied to a 12% higher risk of developing young-onset colorectal cancer.
What if they sat for an hour not watching TV, but looking at their computer or reading a book?
So here's the thing. You're not supposed to sit on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
I mean, it's... But and get this, the size of the risk increased with more TV viewing time. Logically, it's a dose response, you know, thing. Sitting and watching TV for more than 2 hours per day was tied to a risk of young onset colorectal cancer that was nearly 70% higher.
Oh, no binge watching.
So, right. Now, you know, I don't know what to make of this study because it, you know, one could say, well, are there some sort of electromagnetic emanations from the TV that is causing cancer? But I would say that might affect more skin cancer or cancer of the retina or something, melanoma or something like that.
Right.
But it's colon cancer, which is deep inside your body. And so the first thought I had was, you know, the more TV you watch, the more you see those ads for that terrible food.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you're likely to call out for pizza.
Yeah. Let's get takeout. Look.
Yeah. But they say... And this is not always accurate, but the claim is that they match the women for in terms of diet.
Okay.
So the ones, in other words, a woman who didn't watch TV was at all was matched to a woman who watches TV 2 hours by diet.
I see. Yeah.
So supposedly they took care of that variable because you could say, well, TV watching is a marker for other not great behaviors.
That's true.
It's a marker for maybe being less careful about food or
Know, or not exercising.
Well, certainly, that's the connection.
Or lacking ambition.
They're saying
or
sitting on your duff gives you colon cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow, what is it? Is it, do you need to get your rear end air conditioned by not sitting and watching TV? Or is it the physical activity that actually causes, I mean, we know that physical activity is associated with a lower risk of cancer. So
absolutely.
Is TV a proxy for sedentary activity? I would say, in my case, it's not, because I have to say, I watch a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watch the news a lot.
Sure.
And then I'll watch an episode of, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
You know, or some of these, you know, addictive series. Like I'm currently belatedly, I'm probably the only person in the country who hasn't watched Breaking Bad. So I'm finally up to season 5.
Oh, my. And I miss that show.
It's very addictive. So,
yeah.
And plus, I have already surpassed this threshold. I have not developed, knock wood, early onset colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe I should get another colonoscopy, you know?
Oh, I don't know. Wow.
Because is the message that if you've made it to 50 and you haven't developed colon cancer, you can watch as much TV as you want? Because this would be a strange message. They haven't done the research on older individuals and TV watching.
Yeah.
So it's a peculiar study.
Well, if they're still considering that sitting is the new smoking, smokers certainly have higher incidence of cancer, as we know, and not just lung cancer, but, I don't know. And again, it's association, not causation.
Right.
It's interesting. It's worth investigating. But this
It should be a warning label on TVs now.
Yeah.
Just like in California, there's a warning label on everything. You know, like this may give you cancer, that may give you cancer. Clearly, this demonstrates that TV can give you cancer.
Right. Unless you're watching TV while you're on your elliptical or on the treadmill or doing your planks or your squats.
Well, I used to mount my bicycle on rollers in the off season when it was cold, and I used to like churn out like a bike workout. Now I'm a little less ambitious to do that, but that's how I used to work out in the off season.
There you go.
Now I find it distracting to watch TV while I work out, so I listen to music while I work out.
There you go.
Yeah, I got the headphones on.
That's the better answer. Because it's also motivating to listen to your favorite tunes to do something like that. So, okay. Oh, it reminds me of another study, Dr. Hoffman. You probably have read this one too, about should we do more colonoscopies amongst millennials coming down with colon cancer?
Because if they tell you, here's the thing, this is the scary part, is they say this is the 20 to 49 age group. They now say you should get your first colonoscopy at 50. But if you've already got a colon cancer, they say that they looked at, I'm trying to see the statistic here. This is the Nurses' Health Study, which is a huge study.
Yes.
Huge study.
And ongoing, isn't
and
it?
And they just looked at women, and they found, they screened an enormous number of women, hundreds of thousands of women, but a very significant number developed, they screened like nearly 90,000 women, but 118 developed young onset colon cancer, which is relatively rare. Okay, what are the statistics? 118 over 90, that's a pretty much less than 1%.
Yeah.
But it's, scary.
It is scary. Because
they weren't screened.
Yeah. What's interesting is amongst younger people finding more colon cancer, there was some suspicion that it may be due to the rabid use of antibiotics in their young lives or something.
Well, they can think of so many
change
things.
Change of the microbiota.
So many inflammatory things that we put. I mean, we could do a whole thing on colon cancer, and maybe I will. I'm just doing now a lot of research on ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And among the things that are ubiquitous in the diet, in addition to sugar and bad quality fats, there's a lot of irritants like carrageenan.
Yes.
Emulsifiers. Mm-hmm. Like carboxymethylcellulose.
Yes.
And also polysorbate 80 that are irritants to the gastrointestinal lining. And, then you could also blame low-fiber diet because you don't make enough butyrate when you don't have enough fiber.
Yes.
Which nourishes the colonic cells and normalizes their growth.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many potential factors there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's very interesting. All right. Anyhow, should we get on to...
Let's get to questions.
Let's get to questions.
That's what people are tuning in for.
We have an email from Jennifer. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm an avid listener and a fellow practitioner. Jennifer is an RD.
Awesomely
like me.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesomely good. You know, And you could do worse than being an RD and listen to this to get a little continuing education in an entertaining way.
There you go. Your podcasts take me to and from work on my daily commute, and I appreciate every pearl that I glean and I'm able to put into practice with my patients. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for listening. As we trudge through the thick of winter, I'm sure to recommend, and I take myself, vitamin D, along with K2, of course. And even down in Texas, we don't get the sun we need to make enough through the winter months. What are your thoughts on a vitamin D lamp in conjunction with or as a replacement to oral vitamin D supplementation?
Well, that's like
what
tanning.
Do you think? That's
tanning.
That's tanning.
Yeah.
Or just a lamp, not necessarily
well,
tanning.
Well, the lamps that are they're mostly commercially available yeah. are SAD lamps.
Okay.
And they don't give, I mean, thank goodness they don't give ultraviolet because otherwise, you know, you'd stare into that and you'd damage your eyes.
Oh, totally.
Because
that's why in a tanning bed you wear those special
right.
goggles. You have
but
to.
But you must have your eyes exposed to the SAD lights. In fact, I was using mine wrong. I'd turn it on, you know, across the room and they'd light up the room. But really the way you're supposed to use it is put it right by the bedside. And I usually get up and I read a little before I get out of bed. I'll read, you know, my email and I'll look at my, you know, the latest headlines
mm-hmm.
and maybe check Facebook. And, you know, I'll do that maybe for half an hour just to get the blood flowing and get, to transition to waking.
Yeah.
And I'll keep that light right by the bed and look into it frequently. It literally, you have to keep it within like 18 inches of your face.
Huh.
But you can't do that with ultraviolet light. That's the tanning light.
Yeah.
I mean, I
yeah.
guess you can get home tanners, but I think they're highly regulated now because they can give you skin cancer.
Right, right. It's like saying if you're trying to reset your circadian rhythms, get up in the morning, open the curtains, open the blinds, let the sun shine on your face.
Yeah.
Not necessarily through your window, but go outside
right.
at that point.
But, you know, it mm-hmm. light is at a premium among us urban dwellers.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of New Yorkers don't have a vista, you know, from the 100th floor.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking out onto an air shaft.
Yes.
You know?
That's right.
So you're not going to get a lot of light unless you go outside.
Mm. And would you recommend light therapy instead of taking an oral vitamin D supplementation?
No, because
it won't
do anything for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's not going to do the same.
You need UV light.
Right, right. So it's either tanning bed or no tanning bed.
If
really,
you're going to get artificial
it.
Light, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
Because you can't tan outside.
No.
In New York. I mean, you could go, you know, like no. we say, you go naked on Tar Beach on top of your apartment building.
Yeah.
And in this month, you ain't going to get nothing.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Jennifer, take your oral vitamin D supplement. Yay. And thanks for listening. And thanks for doing your work as an RD. Yay. Colleague o' mine. Thank you.
And a shout out to y'all in Texas.
Yeah. We have an email from Karen. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I was just about to buy Spry oral rinse for its xylitol benefits, but the third ingredient is grain alcohol. Is that bad and will it dry out my mouth and kill the good bacteria?
If you're a wino, that's a plus. Because you get a bottle of that and man, you know, you can't, you know, the liquor stores are closed. You just go to a 24-hour, pharmacy and you get some Spry and you just like chug. No.
There you go.
All kidding aside.
Yeah.
We happen to know about Spry because they're actually one of our sponsors. They,
yeah.
The Clear company that makes the xylitol nasal spray, the Clear mm-hmm. nasal spray also makes Spry toothpaste and Spry
yeah.
mouthwash.
Wonderful
and
product.
The advantage is the xylitol,
mm-hmm.
which inhibits bacterial growth in a gentle way, unlike
yes.
Listerine or something like that.
Right.
So you actually will not use harsh carcinogenic chemicals or chemicals that wipe mm-hmm. out your mouth flora completely. You'll actually gently suppress the biofilms that create cavities
mm-hmm.
and periodontal disease. And also, these have the potential to help you regenerate saliva if you have dry mouth.
Exactly.
And they're mouth
right.
moisturizers. So, hey, you can get an alcohol-free version of that because they have
That's
Spry
right.
for kids.
Yeah. So use the Spry for kids, which is
well,
should
you
not
have to, No, actually, the Spry alcohol-free Spry for adults.
There you go.
Because,
with no ethanol. Right.
I mean, there are people in AA, they don't want to be using an alcohol mouthwash.
Exactly.
And so some people prefer not to.
Exactly. I
guess probably the best sellers are the alcohol-free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the website for Spry mouthwash. And or oral rinse, it's called actually. It's
mm-hmm.
not really called a mouthwash. I think the term mouthwash is a little of a misnomer because we don't want to really wash our mouth. We want to have an oral rinse that's a healthy oral rinse.
Right.
And so.
Good for preventing cavities.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. the Spry mouth. What do they call a mouthwash actually?
They do call it mouthwash.
It's alcohol free. They have alcohol free versions.
They have alcohol free.
Alcohol free kids natural, and they have also adult versions of the alcohol free.
There we go. Karen, just get the alcohol free version. That would take care of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, mm-hmm. The amount of alcohol that's in there probably is much less than is in a glass of beer or wine that
or
you actually
like that.
Drink.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to swish it around your mouth and spit it out. So I'm not particularly worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, what was her concern with the alcohol?
The alcohol that will dry out her mouth, which, mm-hmm. you know, any alcohol can dry out your mouth and kill the good bacteria.
Yeah.
Because when we kill the beneficial bacteria, then we have maybe less ability to produce nitric oxide in the body. It was said that, you know, if you're using mouthwashes that contain a lot of alcohol, that by killing off the beneficial bacteria, less production.
Here they have alcohol-free natural island grape mouthwash.
There you go. And we need the nitric oxide for blood pressure. So anybody, I would say, with high blood pressure or anything like that, I would kind of stay away from alcohol-containing mouthwash.
Okay.
Or and I see much more alcohol-free varieties anyway, even the regular.
Then they have
regular
the alcohol-free natural herbal mint mouthwash. Pretty good price point. It's $8.99.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Karen, thank you for your question.
Also, if you want the benefit of the xylitol, you can use xylitol. They have little mints. They have, you know, little...
they've got the chewing gum.
The gum.
And all of that.
And the website is xlear.com.
Which is pronounced clear, even though it's X-L-E-A-R.
Yep, right.
Okay. We've got an email from Jim. I love very dark chocolate. I found sources that use...
Ditto.
Yeah. I found sources that use stevia and erythritol as sweeteners, but they are not overly sweet. Mm-hmm. I avoid sugar almost completely. Are these safe choices eaten in moderation?
It's a good combo. You know, stevia plus erythritol actually, mm-hmm. And the newer forms of stevia are not bitter like and don't leave an aftertaste like the older forms. So
that
it's
was
pretty
the
commonly
complaint,
used.
Yeah.
I had a drink called Bai, B-A-I, which is a coconut drink, mm-hmm. made with stevia and erythritol. And man, it was just really delicious.
That's great.
Now, is there going to be emerging science saying that stevia, like artificial sweeteners, damages the bio,
the microbiome?
Microbiome?
Mm.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
And I guess with erythritol, is possibly if you have too much, it could have a laxative effect,
yes.
like sugar alcohols do.
Right. And erythritol ends in O-L, mm-hmm. like sorbitol
right.
and maltitol
and
xylitol. Mm-hmm. If you get too much sugar alcohol, it can have a laxative effect.
It's a FODMAP. It's actually a FODMAP.
Yeah,
because
the sugar alcohols are,
because it's the P in FODMAP stands for polyols, mm-hmm. which are those things. So sometimes we'll find that somebody... Like kids having diarrhea, and they're drinking a lot of pear juice or something like that, which is particularly rich in sorbitol.
Yeah,
you know, that's one fruit that's very rich.
Natural fruits have lower amounts of mm-hmm. sugar alcohols,
right.
but if you're having it's juice.
Yeah, it's a
you know, it's like eating 10 pears
right,
or something.
Right.
So if they're drinking that much juice,
or
that's
if your
a problem.
Kid is having a lot of pastilles of xylitol, or you know, as
right.
and adults can get this too. But,
that's true.
I have chewed the xylitol gum. I don't get much of a laxative effect from moderate consumption of that.
Yeah.
You know.
I remind people who are avid users of low-carb bars because so many of them are sweetened with sugar alcohols that, no, you probably don't want to have more than two of those a day. There's often a threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Most guts can withstand 22 to 25 grams of sugar alcohols.
Okay,
After that, it can be problematic. That's equivalent to, I would say, 1.5 bars.
Oh,
or
wow.
something even. So
okay.
that's something. Yeah. Jim, thank you for your question. And do eat your dark chocolate in moderation anyway.
Yeah. It's good for, maybe it's good for the brain. It's good for, mm-hmm. Good for the circulation, cardiovascular benefits. Although some people criticize the studies, actually. The studies, they say, many are commissioned by companies like Nestle's.
Mars.
Aim to promote chocolate as a health food.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I've noticed is very interesting is, you know, 20 years ago, you know, you'd go to the store and you'd look for chocolate. It was, you know, there was candy counter and you get like, you know, M&Ms, maybe you get a little bit higher quality chocolate. Now the stores have these gigantic chocolate shelves, you know, with a million different varieties. And it really has become like a health food because we now condone the use of chocolate because it's got some health benefits. And they've managed to sort of change the image. It was like, okay, I'll eat the chocolate, but it's going to rot my teeth, so I won't eat too much. Now it's like, oh, it's beneficial. I can eat as much as I want. Well, it does have sugar and it does have calories.
Exactly.
So you got to, you know, go easy.
Go easy.
You know, unless you're going to have pure cocoa, which basically kind of tastes like dirt.
Yeah. There is a caffeine component, too. You want to be careful if you have trouble sleeping and you're wondering why. Cut
if
back on the
GERD,
cocoa.
If you have reflux,
GERD, it's terrible for GERD.
Right.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, migraines for some people. It's,
yes,
you know,
chocolate can be a trigger
for
those with migraine. Very interesting. Okay, we've got an email from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Regarding fat-soluble vitamins such as E and D, since they are fat-soluble, is it okay to take the desired amount all at once rather than throughout the day, as would be the case with water-soluble vitamins?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. In fact, you know, the way we know that's the case is among the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A is particularly important for immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is they've done these programs in Nepal, these remote places in the, where the people suffer from vitamin A deficiency. And one of the prime results of that is loss of immunity. You become more susceptible to infectious disease, but also you get a particular eye problem. It's a characteristic vitamin A deficiency disease. So the World Health Organization has undertaken a campaign of going to these remote villages and giving people these enormously high doses of vitamin A. They go, okay, here we are. We'll be back in 6 months. You know, like a million units of vitamin A.
Wow.
And it stays in the system and gradually time releases and dwindles down. And then they get another dose. And so another strategy is when you are deficient in vitamin D, you can get a massive dose once a month, like 100,000 international units of vitamin D or more. And then, you know, do the math, divide that by 30. That's not very much every day. That's like 3,000 a day, something like that.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, take 50,000 once a week
for a while,
not forever, because
most
people it will accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some patients taking 50,000 once a week, and their levels come out, you know, pretty normal. It's not because we're checking them on one day or another. The levels are, there's a little bit of a sine wave on that.
Mm-hmm.
The levels shoot up and then they come down a little bit, but it's a slow deterioration of your level. So mostly you're going to have pretty good levels through that week.
Okay, yeah.
So definitely once a day is perfectly fine.
Yeah, especially vitamins E and D, and they're, once a day is good. Michael, thank you for your
Same
question.
Same thing with fish oil, clearly, because that's, So you want to just get it done, you know, take it all
get
in the
Get it
morning.
Done and say, all right, I'm done. You I know, took my vitamins today.
But in contradistinction, if you the vitamin C, you know, you take 5,000 in the morning, you want very much left, you know, in by mid-afternoon.
And you don't want to necessarily take an oral dose of 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C because you're not going to absorb all that.
Right.
I would say 1,000 at the most. That you need to break up.
We part company with the eminent Lioness Pauling because he used to believe in like loading doses of like 20,000 a day. And that's more than the body can absorb.
Yeah.
It'll just give you like
IV method
problems.
Would be the optimal way
that's
to
where
take
he was
that.
Right, is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. We have an email from Terry. Oh, speaking of California and their warnings, Dr. Hoffman. I was in the process of purchasing Osteothera from your dispensary when I noticed a warning to California residents at the bottom of the product's page that stated a user can be exposed to lead and other chemicals when using this product. They also included the following link offering more information on this product. With that said, I've been listening to you for a very long time and place a lot of trust in your guidance and counsel. Can you please comment on what I read? This is from Terry. Terry, California has warnings on almost everything.
It's Proposition 65. So
The
story is that because products that are sold all across the country will make their way into the California market, so the products where they wouldn't require a warning, and the 49 other states have to carry the warning. So just to satisfy the California requirement, California's like a different country. You know, it's got its own rules, you know. And so, but Prop 65 has really been criticized because it sets an even lower threshold for some things that the FDA has set thresholds for toxicity. So the threshold is extremely low for, you know, obviously we don't want lead or mercury or anything bad in our, in anything we take, but hey,
you're going to find an iota here or there. Yeah, there's nothing we could do because, you know, we have to live in this world.
You know, a box of spinach is going to have some of that
stuff.
And should
and
carry
your apple
a warning
juice. And
because
your...
it's from the environment.
Yes.
So, you know, while these companies also make an effort to really minimize exposure, but they have to carry that warning. And the reason is, under if a product is found in California to exceed the threshold, then you can sue the company. The you can sue the company. But in addition, what makes it even more dangerous for the companies is that the government of California will partner with the law firms to sue these companies. And so lawsuits are very expensive. So many companies just simply settle. So there's like a whole business model of law firms in California that are Prop 65 law firms, and they're trolling for instances where a product is not quite in compliance. It's compliant with the FDA because you have to be compliant
with
the FDA because that's otherwise the FDA comes after you.
Right.
That's the federal.
Shut you down.
But even if you're compliant with the FDA, and you, the more stringent standards in California will imply that you are liable. So the state of California will sue you in partnership with these law firms, and these law firms make big, you know, six-figure and seven-figure settlements.
Wow.
So that you don't have to go to court. And it's really highway robbery. It's the law of unintended consequences. It's like, they want to protect the citizenry of California.
How do we capitalize on this?
But then people kind of zoom in and make a mockery of the law, you know.
Wow.
So I think it's an unfortunate thing. But in California, everything's carcinogenic.
Yes.
Including TVs now.
Right.
I mean, I think that, you know, Samsung is going to be liable for these people with colon cancer. Cause like I was watching TV and now you probably knew this, that watching too much TV can cause colon cancer. We're going to see you.
We're going to see exactly. Oh my God. No, you were a binge watcher, weren't you? That's why you have colon cancer. Okay. So Proposition 65 is the reason that California
carries. It's Prop 65,
yeah. That's it.
So, and it's just that, you know, it's like over-regulation.
It's over-regulation.
Too much.
Yeah. Terry, don't be afraid of the osteothera. Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, write to the company that makes it is Claire. Write directly to them and say, I want to see your spec sheets on the batches of osteothera that you've tested. I want to see if there's significant amounts of lead, mercury, anything in there. They will share that with the public.
That's a great idea.
And they'll demonstrate to you that it probably mostly satisfies the California standards. They just, you know, they have to put that warning, you know, on there. Like, this may, California requires it.
Yeah. You know?
Even though they probably are in compliance, even with the more stringent California regs. But if they don't have their warning, then they lose in court.
Yeah.
You know, it's the price of doing business in California.
That's
some companies will not do business in California for that reason.
Oh, you know what? I don't blame them.
Seriously.
If you want to get in trouble, in California.
And they actually have, sometimes I've seen some listings where they have this product, and then they have this product California only. And I don't know what that means, that they label it separately.
Okay.
You know.
That's interesting.
It may be the same product.
It could be the same product.
But just with a different label.
Wow. Thank you for your very thoughtful question, Terry.
Yes, thank you. And so we need to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts, as many of your listeners know. So flip over to side two and we'll continue with questions. Layla, what's our next question, please?
How can weight loss be successful for somebody with PCOS?
That's a really great question.
Yeah.
We'll tackle that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with our nutritionist in residence, Layla Mudin. And radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We'll be right back with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla.